Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Collider Ladies Night. I know I say I love every single guest, but this right here is truly one of my favorites out there. Thaisa Farmiga, I'm so happy to have you on this.
Perry, thank you. I'm so happy to be here. It's nice to see you again. I feel like we always have a really good time.
We do. We've had very many lovely conversations over the years, but a ladies' night is different, and I feel like it gives me the opportunity to ask you so many questions that I wish that I could have asked during very movie-specific
interviews,
so I'll take it.
Perfect.
I didn't warn you about step one of ladies' night. It's playing with this dice tower behind me, so I have eight random questions written here, and you get three rolls on the tower, and whatever you get, that's where we start.
All right, let's go. I like a game of chance.
You say that now.
I know.
Number four. Oh, you got an easy one to start. Number four is binge watch. What is the most recent TV show that you have binge watched?
Okay. Most recent TV show is Elite on Netflix. My husband and I have been taking Spanish lessons for the last year. So it's this like Spanish drama, these like super rich high schoolers and, you know, all the drama that goes along with that. It's also kind of like a murder mystery. So over the holiday break, we binge watched 4 seasons in like 2 weeks.
That is such a cool reason to have chosen that show. I'm very impressed by that.
It was a good, because for homework, we're supposed to be watching a different Spanish show, but we're supposed to watch a Spanish subtitle. So I wanted something that was going to be fun. So like Elite, we watched with English subtitles, but obviously they were speaking Spanish. So it was a good mix. I felt smarter than I am.
I've tried many a times to learn another language, and I feel like every single time I put in the work and I try really hard, but because I never try to, you know, use it in real life.
Utilize it and practice it. Oh my God, I am such a perfectionist, one. Two, I just get so shy. And like, I live in Los Angeles, so many people speak Spanish, but like, I walk down the street and like, I hear people speaking Spanish and I want to just be like, hola. And I'm like, I just don't do it. I'm kind of a baby, but I'm working on the confidence.
You're going to get there.
Give me two drinks and I'll talk to you in Spanish all night.
I have the same problem and I don't speak any other language at this point. All right. Roll number two for you.
Okay.
We're going with a number three now. All right. So three is autofill. I love looking at Google autofills and what people are searching with a guest. And just like one of the most random questions that came up for you was, which Thaisa Farmiga character are you? So of all the characters you've played, which one are you?
That's a good question. I don't think there's a character that perfectly sums up Thaisa, because like, you have Gladys from like Gilded Age Now, who's like sweet and innocent. You have Violet from Horror Story Season 1, who was like, you know, she was like quintessential teenager talking back to her parents. Like she just wanted to, you know, she just wanted to be herself and live her life and not have rules and regulations, which is kind of the same as Gladys in a different time period. There's the nut. I feel like a lot of the characters I've played have showed the kind-hearted part of my personality. And I haven't really gotten to show, I don't know, like, I got a potty mouth. I can be quite vulgar. I'm not. Sometimes in the interviews, I feel like I'm going to start speaking. I'm like, you got to think first. So I don't know. I feel like the perfect Thaisa character hasn't come out yet. Like, I need to, that's my goal. I feel like in the next few years is to do something that shows off. Yeah. Different sides of me. And also like 27-year-old Thaisa.
Interesting. I feel like I'm going to be on the lookout for that character. And by the way, potty mouths are allowed on ladies' night. You go for it.
Yes.
All right. You got one more roll here. We're ending this with a number 8. Oh, this is like another fun one. IMDb trivia. This is another thing that I look at nonstop every time I prepare.
All right. For an
interview. You do have a bunch of things listed there, but
what do we got?
If you could add any one like super random fact about yourself to your IMDb trivia page, mm-hmm. what would it be?
I am a fabulous whistler. Like, you give me a song and I may not know it, but like, I am really good at just whistling.
Well, I need a demonstration.
Hold on. What's the song? I'm like the first thing that comes to mind.
Like happy birthday or something simple like that.
That's my hidden talent.
I can whistle too, but you have that like bird like trill to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and a it's little bit of pretty. Vibrato. Thank you. I taught myself. My sister-in-law, when I was a kid, was teaching one of my other sisters how to whistle, and I'm pretty sure she said I was too young. I'm not sure if that memory has been changed in my mind because of whatever, but I taught myself how to whistle, and yeah, I like it. It's a nice stress reliever.
It's a great stress reliever. A wonderful skill to have. That annoys almost everyone around
everybody.
You.
It's a everybody.
Fellow whistler. Then I say, bring it on.
The first reaction is like, who the fuck? What? That's you? Oh, cool. And they're like, oh, she's still whistling.
You know how like when you're driving around LA, you're sitting in traffic and you're watching someone in the car next to you, like belt out a song. Like I'm the weirdo that you just see like.
And that's the thing like, too. It's like to like get the note, you have to like purse your lip. It's a very specific like. You know, it's not just, it's not, yeah. So I always get made fun of my whistling face. I'm like, yeah, but I can do it well. So like looks, talent, I'm going to veer towards doing a good job.
You get over that. You embrace your skills and what makes you happy.
Exactly.
Right here.
I love it, Perry.
All right. Let's get into the meat of it. I think I know this story for you, but what is the movie, the performance, the personal experience, you name it, that first made you say, I have to be an actor and nothing else?
Oh, that's funny. You know, for me, I have such an interesting like start with it because I don't think the aha moment of I need this in my life came until I was already working a bit. My older sister Vera is obviously an actress and she directed her first film, this indie film called Higher Ground. God, 11 years ago. And it was my first job when I was 15. And it was to play the younger version of her character. And I think I filmed maybe like 8 days. And she asked me to be in it, and it was more just because like I looked like her and she asked me to. I couldn't say no. I was like, okay, this is a cool experience. And then after that I went back to my normal life, and like I loved being on set. I I've always loved playing pretend. I remember, you know, being like a young teenager and reading books and like acting out the scene in my head or you know, finishing Harry Potter and be like, I need more, and like finding fan fiction and like acting out fan fiction scenes on my own and you know, in the bathroom hiding from all the other siblings in my house. But it was never something that I was like, oh, this is what I want to pursue. It was always Vera's job, and it's like, oh, that's cool, but that's like her world. I always had a very logical and mathematical brain. I kind of wanted to be an accountant going into my sophomore year in high school. I really love numbers that much. If you talk to my accountant, in fact, they emailed me 2 days ago and they said, thanks again for always being on top of your accounting. Biggest compliment, best compliment I've gotten so far in 2022. But anyway, so yeah, so there wasn't like a specific movie or moment, but filmed Higher Ground. It got into Sundance. They invited me to go, and people started asking like, oh, is your sister acting now? There was some interest, and I really loved it. And the thing that I loved about it was that I got to be somebody different. I was a very shy teenager. I wouldn't be able to maintain eye contact and have a conversation with you. So being able to, you know, be in my sister's movie and play a different character and experience someone else's emotions, it was just freeing. I got to be somebody else and realize there's a different experience out there. I did that, and then I got the audition for American Horror Story, auditioned for that, got the pilot, and then, you know, that's ran its course. It's done its thing. It's been such a notable presence in my life for a decade. And I think it was somewhere within the first year of doing it, it just hit me one day. I was like, I need this, like, as Thaisa, to figure out who I am. I need to be able to be other people to figure out who I am and what my emotions are. I feel very privileged and lucky to be able to have such an outlet, because a lot of people, you know, they're still well into their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, trying to figure themselves out. And I feel like acting has really given me that outlet to make mistakes through other characters and sort myself out. So that's what I love about it.
Oh, I love that answer. I have so many follow-ups now. Maybe first, I was reading that Vera had to persuade you a bit to do Higher Ground. So do you remember what actually got you to commit? Did she tease anything that maybe, you know, jump-started that creative itch in you?
There was, she did kind of dangle her Toyota Tacoma pickup truck over me. She's like, if you do this, your first car can be this truck. Here are the keys. They're yours. Because also while we were filming, I was also my nephew Finn, who was 18 months old at the time, he played my daughter in the movie. So whenever we weren't filming and had scenes, I was kind of on set with just babysitting him. So for all the hours of that and stuff, she paid it forward, not only with a job and the start of a career, but also a truck, which is my one of like my favorite possession. You know, when you're 17, it's like, I have freedom. It was another, she offered me another gift of freedom in a way.
I feel like that's a pretty good deal right there. So then going forward, you mentioned that the decision to fully commit to acting and realizing you really needed it happened, I guess, in that first year. Was it a specific project that happened on?
I think I'd auditioned for the pilot of American Horror Story. I got the pilot. Everyone's like, wow, the show, are you ready for it to be big? I was like, I'm so excited to be in LA. I didn't think anything of it. I really didn't know. I hadn't had much experience with the industry at all at that point. And then we started filming the season, and I just love being on set. I think it's one of my most favorite atmospheres to be around. I'm such a crew girl. I love getting to know everybody. Like when, when they call cut, and even if it's a big emotional scene, I'll go over to sound, go over to crafty, be like, yo, what's up? What are we doing this weekend? We hanging out. So that energy is something I love to be around. But for the sake of like the job and the career and the actual acting part of it, yeah, I think it was post season one of American Horror Story, and then I went and I filmed like four indie movies, and it was when I was I think it was the first time I'd worked with an acting coach, and it was for In a Valley of Violence. I was a little nervous because the character was a little bit bigger than anything I've done, and In a Valley of Violence is done by Ty West, who's like a great horror director, but this was like a weird hipster Western movie. And it was the first time where I got to see how someone, not just going in on natural instinct, you break down the scene, you break down the emotions. And to me, the emotions started feeling like a mathematical equation. It was like, oh, if you have this and you're feeling this and you add a little bit of this person's response and this person, you know, it kind of felt like an equation to me. And I really loved that. And it was after working with the coach and really building up my skills to do this job, because like, sure, you have natural instincts, but if you don't work at it, if you don't practice, and if you don't, learn how to properly start approaching a scene, you can only run for so long. I think it was once I had the natural part of it, but once I got the book smart part of it, it really just sort of cemented like, oh, this is, I'm so fucking lucky. This is it. This is what I want to do. Like it wasn't even a specific, I don't know when it was. It was just like, by the end of the job, I was like, oh, I want to hold on to this. I need to do everything I can to work hard and be able to keep moving forward.
Does not surprise me to hear that something like that would happen on a Ty West movie, because every single thing that I've seen him do is just, it's so specific and purely him. And they're also different too. They're such tonally, drastically different movies.
Yeah.
Going to your American Horror Story audition, because that was your very first time auditioning.
I think I had one audition, but it was from the same people that had made Higher Ground. It was just sort of like a, oh, you're still at your sister's house, audition for this. And I was like, Okay.
Actually, I have a follow-up about that now. So you start on higher ground, which I imagine is like a really ideal position to be in when you're
surrounded by family, and comfort. And yeah.
Yes. But then you leave that. Is there anything from the way that the higher ground set was run that you wanted to hold tight to and have on your other projects, but then leaving the comfort of family, is there anything that kind of like smacked you in the face that you had to adjust to on the next films?
I mean, the next project after Higher Ground was the pilot of American Horror Story. And I remember when I was there filming, I was in the hair and makeup trailer. And I remember Kim, the makeup artist who I adore to this day, she was so happy after the first take. She's like, I thought you were going to be a little brat. You know, I thought you were going to, not because that she met me, but she was like, oh, I got the young one in the cast. So like her saying that to me, again, I was so shy, I could barely talk at all. And I was like, oh no, am I doing something wrong? Like the first thought is like, wait, I'm not being bratty enough. So back to the question. Yeah, there was a comforting presence from being around Kim, and she almost felt like another mom to me on that set. But it made me think back to Higher Ground. It was like everywhere I turned, there was someone with family. You know, Vera's husband was the music producer. My cousin Adriana was doing art on it. Vera had our grandma and her husband's grandma was in it like as background extras, like doing like yoga stretches. It was in some scene. It was funny. It was a lot. Can't go back to it. And yeah, I don't know. It's just, I remember the first time being like, oh wow, this is real life. There's no really like a safety net of like, if you're fucking up your lines, there's nobody there to be like, hey, it's okay. It's like, you got to do it. And that's that. And I don't know. I feel like I learned a lot about myself. I learned that I react really well under pressure. I don't crumble. I pretend that everything's okay. And then I go home and cry later, but like in the face of it, I'm like, I got this.
Whether it was American Horror Story or any other project, what's a time where, you know, you were on set and maybe you should have caved under the pressure, but you kind of stood your ground, you pulled it off, and you're proud of yourself for it even today?
That's a good question. I'm trying to think, what's the first one that pops to mind? I mean, there's just, yeah, again, I'm a perfectionist. So there's so many times where it's like, you're filming all day. And it's like this big, huge emotional scene. You don't do your close-up until the end of the night, right? And it's so frustrating because like you've been doing it for hours, you've been crying for hours. And like, I think, I don't know, it's not moments that I should have pushed more. I think it's moments I should have been like a little bit more forgiving of myself. And it's like, I'm like, I could have given more, I could have been better. But those moments, it's just like, you know, there's people want to go home. People need to, like, they can't keep paying for more takes. You know what I mean? And it's just sort of accepting where you're at and saying, I did the best I could do. And next time, maybe I'll be a little bit more prepared, or maybe I'll drink extra water so I have more tears to drop.
As a fellow perfectionist, I very much understand that.
Thank you.
There is no way I'm not digging into horror with you right now. I am curious, American Horror Story kind of jumpstart the horror fan in you, or were you a fan of that kind of content beforehand?
Never. I'm still not a fan. I can't watch it. I get so scared. I mean, I'm sure it has to do with, you know, growing up in a religious family, but anything that's like demonic or, you know, it's just like, it just, to this day, it's still like, I see the number 666. I'm like, I have a panic attack. I'm like, I'm a grown woman. I can type in 666 and my world's not going to end. But no, I mean, I think Horror Story definitely, it introduced me to that world. You know, my parents didn't really love horror stuff. I remember when I was like, I don't know, when I was a kid, I must have been like 7 or 8. My brother and my sister forced me to watch Chucky. And like, that was my only experience with the horror. And I hated it. I remember sitting on the basement steps, just like staring down and being like, this puppet's going to walk. My brother, they had hand-me-down like the rat, you know, like the Raggedy Andy dolls, these like dolls with like the red hair and the yarn they're sewn in. It kind of looked a little bit like Chucky. I know that doll lived around the corner. I just waited on the basement steps for it to pass. And that was my first experience with horror prior to American Horror Story. And I don't know, I'm still tainted. I can't love horror. I can't.
I have a life-size Chucky doll sitting downstairs right now that should be on this set.
I would have a panic attack.
There was a very long period of time where Chucky lived in my car. And I will tell you, that fixes the misery of LA traffic, because every time I'd be driving alongside someone, it's so incredibly entertaining.
Yeah, exactly.
So that gets you started with the horror genre, but then you kept at it. So it's making me wonder, what is something that you absolutely loved about making horror content then? And is there anything new you've discovered that you never even realized was part of that process now with all the new stuff you've made?
You know, I find that I don't generally love to watch the same things that I act in. It's just, I don't know. I love acting in the dark stuff. Give me a psychological thriller. Give me anything like that. But I don't, on my personal time, I want to laugh and just like be carefree. But whenever they send me a script to want to act in, like I want the meaty, juicy, dark stuff. And if that has to be horror, I feel like there's a lot of amazing stories you can tell with those backdrops. Yeah, I have found that like also it was fun to play those emotions that I don't have to like express in real life. You know, I'm not normally running around, you know, like you're not screaming in it. Oh, really? And like there's something really, I mean, some people are. I think I must have had a really good life that I'm not running around like that. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It was there's something like cathartic about just getting it all out. And I love like a big, heavy, hard crying scene, like a day on American Horror Story. I think like the scene where I found out I was dead as Violet, spoiler, I'm sorry, it's been a decade. I felt really happy at the end of it, even though I spent the entire day crying. So those sort of like expressing those sort of emotions, I love.
Here's something horror-ish for you. And I'm just absolutely fascinated by this. Quibi.
Uh-huh.
I have just a million and one questions. Mm-hmm. What made you want to be part of a project on a new platform and in a new format like that? Mm-hmm. And then I guess from your perspective, having worked hard on something in it, mm-hmm. what was it like watching the whole thing, you know,
sort of just crumble? Yeah. You know, for me, the job offer came, was that the one that was in, I think I filmed in the fall. It came at a point where I'd been dealing with like a lot of just like digestive health issues for a few years and ended up finding out that I had like a parasite in my blood. And I just, so dealt with like getting rid of, and all happened like right around The Nun and American Horror Story when I went back for Apocalypse. And so it was like, I was coming off this period of just like, personally, just like a lot of shit going on. So it was a straight offer and I was super excited because I was like, I don't know, this could be really fun. It was the writers or they're associated with, Quiet Place. And I was like, this could be really great. And also I was like, I feel like I'm going to work out, like having to climb a it's a windmill tower. I was like, this is going to be like, I'm going to be working out for 2 weeks. This is great. I'm getting paid to work out. So it wasn't necessarily like, ooh, the new platform. I that didn't cross my mind. I was just excited. I think I was just excited for a job to be taken away into a completely like different scenario with people that were supposed to be like really fucking rad. And then it pandemic hit and people stopped. I mean, the whole point of it was to watch on the go, right? You're on the subway, you're on the train, like you're supposed to like in 15 and like 10 or whatever, they were even smaller, maybe they're like 9 minute episodes. So it made sense to me. I was like, this could work. Like I'm in New York, I'm sitting in the subway, I'm like, there's plenty of people who travel, like they, people love to, I mean, if you're sitting there watching TikTok videos, why wouldn't it work for watching something with like story? Well, now look, I didn't know. I'm bad at predicting. This is why like I'm not good at investing. I don't bet money because yeah.
It's not about predicting things, though. I think, like, I applaud decisions like that more because it's about taking creative swings. Not every swing is going to pan out, but you gotta try because new storytelling formats offer new opportunities that you didn't realize were there before.
And truthfully, I found myself, like, I wasn't watching movies a lot. I was watching TV because I liked, like, pausing after 30 minutes, 40 minutes. I needed a break, like, and I remember having to sit through, like, a 2.5-hour movie. I'm like, this is exhausting. It's changed now. And I feel like I fluctuate depending on how life is and how my anxiety is and my focus, like being able to watch things. But I don't know. I thought it was an exciting thing to try something new. And luckily it was just one episode of the show and I didn't invest too much of my own personal time, but it's, shit, you know, it happened.
It's still out there though. The library was purchased. The content lives on, and there's some really good stuff in the mix there too.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
All right. In a very drastic switch, after we covered all this horror, the Gilded Age. you are just so incredibly drastically different in this show. Not that I was going into it expecting it to be horror.
You're expecting Violet. Well, I mean, in a way, it's actually interesting because when you were asking me earlier and I was talking about the different characters and who I am, I was like, oh, there's actually, I see, it's funny because Gladys feels like almost, there's a little bit of a callback, you know, you're rebelling against the parental units and she doesn't want what her parents want for her and she wants to take her own stand and find her own identity. I think Violet obviously had a much clearer sense of who she was at that point than Gladys does now. But I think that also has to do with the time period. But yeah, I think that's why I was first drawn to it, was jumping into a world that I wasn't normally associated with.
What was the audition process like for that? If it wasn't a straight offer, was it one of those situations where you could have been cast in a bunch of roles and then Gladys hit, or were you always going for Gladys?
No, I originally read for the lead woman, Louisa's character. She plays Marion Brooke, and the woman who, it's kind of who the story sort of, she's the intro into and what takes us into the world, and her story is kind of the main story we follow over the arc of the season. But when I was auditioning for it, I had a hard time. I remember I read once with my husband, I didn't like the tape, or I guess he was my boyfriend at the time. This was in August 2019. It was the first time I auditioned for it, so it's been a minute. I tried to make the self-tape twice and I wasn't happy with it. And I just couldn't, I don't know why I wasn't clicking or responding to Marion. And then I sent in a tape and I was like, I feel fine about it. It's what it is. And then casting, the producer, they really liked it, but it was like, you're not, it's clearly not right for Marion, but like, we really, really like you. Will you read this character? And I was like, okay, why not? Like, I mean, I was down to try it. Cause you know, again, perfectionist, I felt like, not that I failed at the other tape, but I was like, I didn't fully connect. So I was happy to have a second shot with Gladys, and that taped it in 2 seconds. And I was like, oh, I know this girl. She's so many versions of like 16, 17 year old Thaisa. So auditioned for that. And then they seemed really stoked on it. And then had a director session with Michael Engler. And it was literally the day that the Downton Abbey movie was coming out. And I was trying to make sure in the casting office, I was talking to my fiance, and I was like, babe, how do I naturally be like, congrats on the project? I was like, how do you socialize?
Bringing up Downton, I'm the kind of person who looked at Downton Abbey and basically said, like, that show's not my kind of show. I'm never watching it. I was assigned to cover the movie, and I finally went back and watched the show, and I'm like, this is delightful. I like it a lot. So for someone out there who might be saying the same thing about Downton Abbey and now Gilded Age, what would you tell them to encourage them to give it a shot?
I mean, honestly, you really never know. Escapism in any form is really nice, especially in this day and age. And for me, it was after I had got the director session with Michael Engler for Gilded Age. And I was like, okay, shit, I should probably go watch Downton, because like, you don't want to go and be ill-informed and say something really stupid. And I started watching. I watched the first episode, second episode. All of a sudden, I'm in season 3, and I'm like, how the hell? There's just like, there's something really captivating about it, and it's the characters. And like, sure, you see them in their pretty dresses in this, and it's not normally a time period or an aesthetic that I'm usually drawn to personally to watch. But it's the character-y stuff that's so good. It's the relationships, the interpersonal relationships. It's like, yeah, I mean, it's just relatable. It's relatable people and characters in like really crazy funny outfits. I mean, some of the outfits I wear in the show are insane. So, I mean, you just, honestly, it's just fun. It's just fun to get lost in a completely different world. And I think that's a similar thing to horror projects. It's like you get sucked into that, you know, into that small thing. And it's the same thing. It's just a variation of it's a different set piece, you know?
With all those gorgeous costumes, they are incredible from top to bottom in this show, but kind of makes me wonder, is there any like costume hack, like something that needs to be done behind the scenes, like movie magic wise, to make everything look so good and be wearable and somewhat comfortable?
I mean, I think every actress, every actor, every outfit had its own like things you had to maneuver and make work. Like the corsets were a pain in the ass for ladies. I can say that for myself. Some of the actors liked it to be like, they wanted to feel like they were in the 1880s and pull it tight. I was like, from the beginning, I remember going into the first fitting, I made a mistake. I'd flown from LA, and I just got off the plane. I didn't really eat much. So I go into my fitting and I was like, okay, shoot, should have eaten something. Then they're fitting me, and like, it's based on me not eating anything. I'm like, this was a mistake. Next fitting, like a few weeks later, I made sure I ate like a giant burrito before I went in. So like any room I needed on the day when I wanted to be hungry, like there was room in the corset and in the gowns for like bloat, for like stomach growth. You just natural eating, you know what I mean? Stomach expanding. So that was probably the quickest, like the biggest, most important hack I learned about wardrobe fittings for a period piece like this was make sure you eat beforehand. And the second thing was just like, you can't get dressed on your own. So stop trying to be an independent woman, because it's the 1880s and it's almost impossible to beat one.
I mean, it's worth all the trouble you guys go through. It looked pretty incredible.
Thank you.
Now I must know literally everything about working with Carrie Coon. I was a big fan of hers before this happened, but I had her on Ladies Night for The Nest like a year and a half ago. And like now I'm just like full blown obsessed with her. I think she's insanely talented and so smart and such a pleasure to talk to. So what is it like working with her?
I don't think I love another human more than I do Carrie Coon. I love my partner. I love my family, but Carrie Coon has a special place in my heart. She is just one of the most, I don't know. She's so unapologetically herself and she's still so kind. She loves to bust everybody's balls and just like pick on people, but that's how she shows love. And if she's not picking on you, then you kind of know you're not in her inner circle. But the fact is there wasn't actually very many people even like that. She's just like whip smart and a phenomenal actor. And anytime she spoke, I'm just like, oh, I just it's the fucking hard eye emoji. There's no way to describe it. I think she's just one of the most phenomenal people and phenomenal actors. And like the chemistry between her and Morgan Spector, who played my dad in the show, made it so easy when Harry Richardson and I were in the show or like in a scene together. I mean, and you just sort of exist and ride off their chemistry, which is like really nice to have.
I could very much understand that. It's just like all I've had was an hour long conversation with her and I could feel exactly what you just described.
She's just so authentic I just want her to love me, okay? Gladys wants Bertha to love her and I want Carrie to love me is so much to ask for.
It helps the performance and the character. My favorite thing to do now is to stalk her Twitter account because I love seeing what movies they're watching.
Oh yeah. They always have a really good list.
Very, very good selection there. All right. Tell me a little bit about any backstory you two did, any additional backstory work, at least between, you know, Gladys and her mother. Because I started to wonder, and maybe I'll discover this further into the series, but I started to wonder, is her keeping Gladys kind of, you know, in lockdown mode purely for status and until she's ready to fill the ballroom, or is there something else lurking underneath that, you know, gives her genuine concern for her daughter being too young and not ready to get out in the world?
I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt and say that I'm sure it's a combination of both. But, you know, I feel like as a parent, you're blinded by love and affection, hopefully, towards your child. But it's like it's the desire to protect your, you know, that piece of you. You know what I mean? Like we are technically like you become from, you know, and it's like whatever your parental figure is, it's like you want to care for the one that's in your custody. And like, I think, you know, Gladys is very privileged. She grew up with wealth. She doesn't know what it's like to struggle. I think the difference is Bertha and George, her parents grew up in like working class families and they had to build from nothing where, you know, George made his millions all on his own. And I think there's a bit of, she's a bit naive in the sense that she doesn't know what it's like out in the real world. So obviously she pushes and she fights for what she wants, but Bertha knows the other side of it. She knows how bad it can be and how less fortunate and what it's like to live in poverty. So I think that's why for her, it's life and death with wanting to fit into society and also, you know, use her daughter as a pawn in her big game. Gladys is a puzzle piece. You know, she is her daughter and she cares for her, but she's also in 1880s. You have to play the game if you want to have any sort of freedom or life as a woman. Like if Bertha doesn't make it into high society, what does she have besides her husband's money? She's got nothing. She's alone.
It is a fascinating game to track and it stresses me out a little.
Right, right.
All right, so we always wrap Ladies Night with a second game and surprise, I'm going to give you a game with a horror spin on it. So I want you to play our horror movie survival game, but with the cast of the Gilded Age. I'm going to set a scene for you here. So it's a day on the set of the Gilded Age. You guys are all working on a big scene where you're all together. And then all of a sudden, a zombie outbreak happens. I'm going to give you a couple character description, and you have to tell me who best suits this description and why.
Okay.
Who is most likely to be the last person to catch on and not realize that there are zombies in the room?
I would have to say... Oh my God. I would have to say, Jack Gilpin. He would be the one. He's the butler of the Russell house. I feel like he's so focused in all the time on being, you know, the butler and being present and being ready at a moment's notice for whatever Bertha needs. But I feel like sometimes he's not paying attention to like everything else that's going around.
Next one here. Who is the most likely to sacrifice themselves for the others?
Harry Richardson, in a heartbeat. He plays Larry. He would absolutely sacrifice himself. He might push me first, but then sacrifice himself for everybody else.
That was like a very troubling thing that I realized about my little sister. I took her to one of those LA haunts, and the first house that we walked into, she grabbed me and she pushed me in front of Michael Myers. And I'm like, oh, this is how that would go.
This says a lot about us and you, but also us.
Yep. Yep. All right. Who is the most likely to trip and fall while running from the zombies?
Gladys, me. I 100% would be the first one to fall. These, especially if I was in like in wardrobe on Gilded Age, I would trip and fall in a heartbeat. There's a moment where we're doing a tennis scene in Newport later on, and I don't know if it's going to make it into the edit, but I just it's like a cartoon, like feet up, skirt up, it was amazing.
I really hope that makes it into a cut now.
Me too.
This is one of my favorite zombie movie cliches to play with. Who is the most likely to get bit and then try to hide their infection?
I feel like Morgan Spector, my dad. I feel like he would be Papa Bear. Like he's trying to like help us and move on, but like he's still slowly starting to like, you know, he's starting to turn, but still trying to like take care of us. I feel like it would be in a good way. You know what I mean? He's hiding in a good way to try and save us. How long does it take to kick in?
I mean, it depends what zombie movie you're in. The rules are different all the time. Are they fast zombies? Are they slow zombies? I have no idea. All right, two more here. Let's go with who is the most likely to be the last one standing?
I feel like Danae Benton, who plays Peggy. I feel like she is like a boss ass monk, and I feel like she would last. I feel like I would turn to her, like, you know, like you're gonna form groups because people are gonna have like different suggestions of like, no, we have to do this, we have to hide here, we just get some. I feel like I would absolutely bow down and be like, tell me what to do, you know it.
I feel like I can even see that just radiating off the screen in her performance in this.
She's got this energy about her. I was thinking, who would I? Yeah. Yeah, I'm sticking with that. I think that's perfect.
I like that choice. The last one here. Who is the most likely to be turned into a zombie, but fight the change and come back at the last possible second to help save the day? I don't think that's ever happened in a zombie movie or show, but I'm wrong.
I would have to say Ben Ehlers, who plays, I think his name's Jack. He's the one under the butler. He's the young boy in the Van Ryn house, with the like the thick New York accent. I feel like you can't kill him. It's like New York. He's gonna come back.
He's so sweet in the show based on what I've seen thus far. So I'm glad
he's a cool dude. I feel like he would fight to the end and then win.
I like that. All right. I haven't actually done this in a really long time, but I'll throw you our last two ladies' night questions that we used to end on every single episode.
Okay.
It hasn't happened in a bit though. But the first one is, can you name someone in this industry who you think is changing it for the better?
I'm gonna sound like a broken record, but I feel like Carrie Coon. I feel like she is someone who is not afraid to just speak and be herself. And that's something I definitely have a very like, I mean, this is made more on a personal, but I mean, she's also very vocal about political views and also how she approaches projects and the kind of projects she wants to be a part of. But just, yeah, having your opinion and saying it and not trying to be a people pleaser. Do you know what I mean? I feel like that's a problem I have. And I feel like a lot of actors too. And I feel like I'm finally getting to a point in my career where I don't have to do that. And Carrie is someone who I definitely look up to in that regard. And yeah, I'm going to push for what I want and fight for what I want. If I don't agree with what's going on, I'm going to say something.
I love that answer so, so much. Last one. What is the biggest fear that you've ever had that you've actually managed to overcome?
Whoa, what a question. biggest fear I ever had. Well, I'm still fucking terrified of the dark, and I'm not over that. But I think it's it's an interesting question, because I think of the first fear and I think of an outward thing, but I think I would have to say fear of there's two things that keep going back and forth in my mind. I'm also you can't say that, you could say it, which is literally it's just me saying you've broken me, Barry. No, it's the fear of fear of being accepted and being liked. I think that's the thing when I was a teenager, of people, responding to me for me and not say who family is or who, what, it, you know what I mean? And I think something I've come over or gotten over is being if you don't like me, too bad. And it's still something I'm it's a fear, every conversation I go into, I was even saying it, I had a conversation in my head being you're going to say that. This was a truthful moment. It's the stupidest. Yeah.
I was only asking that question initially because I have a ridiculous fear of the dentist and the bees.
Oh,
and
that,
I was
see, but that's a tangible, physical fear.
I was
fear.
Looking for a simple solution to things like that. But then people started to give me real heartfelt answers that I suspect could inspire someone else out there if they're dealing with the same issue. So I kept asking.
It's any physical fears, I don't think I've gotten over. I'm terrified. I hate big bodies of water. And so Apple TV, when you're not playing it for a while, it plays the screensavers, and they have all these ones of fish deep in the ocean, or there's this whale, or there's one with all this jellyfish. I have such an adverse reaction as soon as my husband knows, he sees it, he's like, oh no, turn around. And we have to swipe past it. It gives me a pit in my stomach. I get such anxiety. I don't like putting more than my ankles in the ocean. So that's a fear I haven't gotten over. Bonus answer.
Yeah, if it makes you feel any better, I haven't gotten past the bee or a dentist fear.
And we're in it. Well, the dentist, you just need to find the right one. You need to find the right one.
My dentist is my family friend. He has to be the right one. I can't leave him.
Maybe that's something you got to work on.
Yeah, that sounds like a me problem, though. All right, I got to let you go. As always, it is such a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank
you for joining us for Ladies Night.
And
congratulations on Gilded Age. I need more now.
Thank you, thank you. I appreciate it. Always so lovely.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.